20 years ago next Tuesday, the nation's worst oil spill happened. The tanker Exxon Valdez went aground and ripped itself open on the top end of Prince William Sound. The event shocked the nation. The oil lay on the water for days. Journalists from around the world thronged to the small town of Valdez to report on the spill. One of them was APRN's Steve Heimel, who gives us this remembrance of the events of 20 years ago.
The spill was 2 days old by the time I got a seat on the small air carrier that flew to Valdez. The pilot deliberately flew over the tanker so we could see it. There was an oil slick that stretched as far as we could see, and a few things that looked like toothpicks surrounding the vessel. Those toothpicks were the few pieces of oil spill containment boom that had so far been deployed. There were two small boats there collecting oil. In the town itself, a news conference was going on at the Civic Center. Exxon announcing it was taking over control of the spill from the Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, which was still digging its response equipment out from under the snow. Exxon was also promising to pay for any damages. And already fishermen like Doris Lopez were not believing the company.
It's so hard. They have to take the predictions of the salmon. There's no possible way to tell what hasn't shown up, and I don't see how they're going to come up with fair claims.
Much the same was said by fisherman Ricky Ott, whose education was in marine science.
I think that we're faced right now with short-term and long-term damages, and the long-term damages are going to be extremely hard to prove.
An even more harsh assessment 20 years ago came from herring spotter Jim Brown.
They have no conception of what they're talking about when they say that they're going to replace our fish stocks, and they're going to hire their attorneys to sweep us under the table.
The mayor of Valdez reacted to the news conference with disappointment. Exxon said it was going to try to use chemicals to disperse the oil. Mayor John Devens wondered if the industry had ever been serious about being able to actually go out and mechanically pick up spilled oil.
We've been told for years that they were ready for any contingency, and here we've got an oil spill, a major disaster right in our backyard under ideal conditions, and after 72 hours, we've picked up 3,000 barrels of oil. That's not very much.
The ideal conditions disappeared that night. A storm blew in, and the following day, Exxon shipping head Frank Iarossi had to make a glum announcement to his next news conference.
What happened was our worst fears, and that those very high winds last night, gusts up to 73 miles an hour, essentially stampeded that slick out of the center of Prince William Sound, over to the western edge, and down in a essentially southwesterly direction. It's unbelievable. That slick is moving like it's on a superhighway.
Everyone was in crisis mode, he said. The Civic Center was soon hosting back-to-back news conferences throughout the day. The fishermen, the Coast Guard, the scientists, the state, all started having news conferences of their own. The next day, they all flew down to a town meeting in Cordova, home to most of the fishing fleet, and the greeting they got was not at all friendly. Frank Iarossi did not attend that meeting. The boos were directed at George Nelson, president of Alyeska, the company that had now proved its incapability to deal with the spill to the entire world. Exxon sent executive Don Cornett to the meeting. Cornett told the fishermen that Iarossi was still in crisis mode and was needed back at the command center to supervise the delicate operation of getting the oil out of the tanker's hulk in such a way that it did not capsize. Cornett was even more full of assurances to the fishermen than Iarossi.
We will consider whatever it takes to keep you whole. Put it on paper and bring it to the table.
History would be the judge of that promise. It came out pretty much like the fishermen predicted it would on the first day. As for the spill response, the federal government had stepped in after the storm and taken over. What was called a unified command had been formed, consisting of Exxon, the state, and the Coast Guard. The state chose to open its side of that triangle to the fishermen, something that by this time was agreeable to all parties because their basic knowledge of the current's geography and disposition of vulnerable resources was indispensable for what was by then crisis mode for all of them. Commander of the Marine Safety Office, Steve McCall, could only say this to the fishermen at the town meeting in Cordova.
I guess what I'm saying is it's a very frustrating job from my end,
from the other resource agencies to combat a quantity of oil such as was spilled in Prince William Sound. But we're trying as best as we can. Thank
you. Reporting with the sound of 20 years ago in Cordova and Valdez, I'm Steve Heimel.